Listen to the points that I gave out a couple of weeks ago. The first one is, true worship begins with the right view of God. It means God knows everything, has everything, is everything. He's God and he's God alone. He's God. And we must be willing to keep him on that throne. The second point that we saw in true worship is that true worship requires total surrender. Total surrender. Yielding to God's will. Not a feeling, but it's a decision that says, you are God and I give myself fully to you. And worship is love expressed in worship. That's why everything we do, it's got to be founded in love. It's got to be grounded in love. Don't tell me you're a worshiper and love isn't. It's got to be. That's the test. They're going to know that you are my disciples because of the love you have for one another. Okay? The third point to true worship draws us into intimacy with God. And that's really what it's about. It's not about me performing. These kids, we're trying to get them to see the love of God. Thank God for Natalie and Janet and Vida and Dave. And they're working with these little ones. Understand what happened. It was a night like no other. But we want them to see God not just as God, but God is Father. And if they can catch it when they're small, then the enemy won't be able to get them when they get older. So it's important, and even in homes, it's important that as fathers, we show the love of God. We show the grace of God. It should be grace between mom and dad. It should be grace between parents and children. It should be grace between siblings. Even if mom and dad have to draw a line. Even if they have to draw a line. And sometimes in our lives, God draws a line. But we know he's a loving father. And so the Lord says to us, if you have to speak this truth, speak the truth. But speak it in love. Speak it in love. This is kingdom now. And St. John 17 says, the world is going to know you came from God. The world, Jesus says this. Jesus says, the world is now going to get the fact that God sent Jesus when we are in unity and oneness and love, just like the Father and the Son and the Spirit. But intimacy should be it, not rules. Everybody say this. Say, not rules, intimacy. Not rules, relationship. So how do we want to do this? A, we want to see God rightly. B, we want to yield fully. Three, we want to draw near. We want to draw near. And so using this Christmas season as a time to understand what worship looked like with two groups. You had a group that was Herod, which was the king at the time when Jesus was born, and a group of the three wise men. Both of them had a response to Jesus coming. I want to show you that response. So let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 5, and then I want to show you Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. So, Luke chapter 1, look at what it says. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, you would think that my topic is going to surround Zacharias and his wife, Elizabeth. It really isn't. Go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Look at what this says. Now, the first thing that I talked about was Herod. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about Herod. The second thing that I want to show you are the wise men, the magi. Look at verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So this is worship now. First thing that we want to see out of the true worship picture, and this is going back to that passage of scripture. Go back one more time, if you can, to Luke chapter 1. Look what Luke chapter 1 says. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and his wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Of all the words that are there, what stood out to me was, there was in the days of Herod. There were in the days of Herod. This is the scene that Luke is trying to set. He's trying to lay out a scene. Listen to what Herod's reign looked like. We're talking about a day, not a particular day, the days of Herod. This is what the climate was when Jesus showed up. Look at what it was. His reign was marked by fear, political violence, corruption, insecurity, murder. This is what happened when Jesus came. God did not wait for Jesus to come to a perfect environment. It's the days of Herod. What was going on when Jesus showed up? He doesn't start with angels and miracles. He starts with context. God doesn't wait for ideal situations. Now, we're talking about worship now. What's the environment when God is calling you to worship? What was the environment when he called Noah to worship in the day of Noah? What's the environment now? What was the environment when God was causing, and this is back in 2020, and all kinds of things going on during COVID? I would venture to say that some could write in years down the road, back in the days of COVID, God was calling us to worship. Do you see what I'm trying to drive at here? There are no perfect scenarios for us to say, yes, Lord, I worship you. Yes, God, I'll worship you. Everything's going good. Things are wonderful. Now, Lord, send your king. No, God didn't send his king, our king, when everything was perfect. He sent it when it was a mess. Some would say, this is a group that I grew up in, a bad mess is considered a hot mess. And that's when God sent Jesus. What's going on in your life? What's going on in your life? This Christmas. Now. Forget the days of Herod. The days of Herod was just an example that when horrible is going on, God sends an answer. He sends an answer when bad is going on. Well, what's going on with you? This Christmas. This season, when you're hearing songs from these kids, Go Tell It on the Mountain, Away in the Manger, when you hear the advent that Chaz Phillips and Julie Quintot shared, when you see that, And then you look at your own life. What's going on with your family? What's going on with the doctor's reports that you receive? What's going on with the temptation? What's going on with the insecurity? See, in the days of Herod, Herod was insecure. He was so insecure, he was willing to kill Jesus. He was willing to kill thousands of babies because of his insecurity. Well, what's going on with your life? Can you still worship when the climate is not conducive? The song says, when praise demands a sacrifice, I'll worship even then. Surrendering the dearest things in life. And if devotion costs me all, you'll find me faithful to the call when praise demands a sacrifice. Can you worship? Can you be like this teenager, Mary? Teenager. We got teenagers here in the room. Can you be like Mary? You think Mary, oh, Mary, mother of God, and you see her older. No, this thing started when she's a teenager. God sought her out. He says, you're blessed and highly favored. God sees you as someone he can flow through and change environments. That's why even here at High Street, we have to keep getting young. We honor us, those of us who are older and our hair is getting whiter and whiter. Honor that. Honor those who are in the middle, where they're taking care of their parents and they're having children. But we also got to honor these young ones. And I believe revival is going to come through young people. But what happens when you go to school? What happens when you're around your friends? What happens? What happens when you haven't gotten a good grade? What happens? What happens when the climate isn't good at home? Maybe mom and dad don't believe in Jesus. In the days of John or Kevin or Susan or Wendy, what was that climate? Their parents weren't living for Jesus. Maybe the parents were in drugs and alcohol. Maybe there was abuse. A few months ago, Pam and I were sitting in the sex trafficking and human trafficking, hearing the horror. And we didn't even realize it. We've got our families, we've got our devices, we have our jobs, we have our resources, great relationships, not realizing that two doors down, human trafficking going on, abuse in home going on. But what does God call in the middle of that? Can those teens worship? Can those young adults worship? Can that battered wife worship? Can that abused husband or son, can they worship? What's going on in your day? I know what was going on in Herod's day. I know what was going on in Noah's day. I even know what was going on in COVID. But what's going on now, this Christmas? Can you worship? Can you worship? Can you see God still as God? Not through your lens, but through his. What is his lens? This is his lens. This is his lens. That's why John 3:16, Jesus says, this is how much God loves the world. He would send his one and only son. And why? So no one would have to perish. And understand this, God didn't send his son to point an accusing finger. Highlight all your defects. He came to make things right. He came to make it right. So we have to have a healthy view of God. That's why we read our Bible. Look at somebody and say, read your Bible. Look at him again and say, you hear me? I'd rather you yell at them than me. So the first thing we do, we look at worship and we look at what it was like in the days of Herod. It was dark, it was uncertain, it was oppressive. And not just generally speaking, but we have to bring it now to our lives. second point, God was already at work, even when it didn't look like he was working. While Herod sat on a throne of power, God was quietly working through Zacharias and Elizabeth. Faithful, ordinary, aging, and waiting. There were no headlines. There was no applause. It was just obedience. And that's what you get. When God calls you to worship, truly, truly worship, and it's a tense time, it's an intense time, it's a little crazy, things look crazy. God, God, I worship you now. Even still. When your feelings get hurt, can you still worship? When you get embarrassed, can you still worship? When you're annoyed, can you worship? When things don't go your way, can you still worship? Can you still worship? How do you worship? Understand that God's already at work, even when it doesn't look like he's at work. Heaven's moving in history, even though it looks like it's stuck. It seems like nothing is happening. God may be doing his God may be doing his deepest work. His deepest work. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When it's the darkest, God's light shines the brightest. So we've heard two so far. What did it look like? What did worship look like in the days of Herod? What did worship look like when things don't look good? God's already at work, even when it didn't look like it. Number three, the days of. Don't stop the plan of God. You guys take a picture of these because you need to work in all of this. Because, listen, Jesus said it. If I'm going through, you're going to go through because you love me and you serve me. The enemy doesn't like it. The enemy, not people, the enemy. The days of don't stop the plan of God. Listen to these days of. I've given you the days of Herod. I've given you the days of Noah. The days of Egypt, bondage. The days of COVID, disruption. The days of Herod, oppression. The days of Noah, judgment. But what was God doing? In the days of Noah, judgment was there, but God was bringing deliverance. In the days of Egypt, bondage was there, but God was bringing breakthrough. In the days of Herod, oppression was there, but God brought the incarnate Jesus. And in the days of COVID, disruption and loss, but God did a shaking. Different God, different days, same God. What were they singing in our worship team this morning? What a God, what a God. What a God, what a God, what a God. My fourth point is that Jesus is coming. Deliverance, hope, and peace. This is what happens when Jesus shows up and what true worship looks like. Before Jesus arrived publicly, hope was already on the way. And I want you to ask yourself that question. What hope is God already working on in my life? What hope? What's going on with your kids? Those of you that have children, what's going on with your kids? What's going on with your kids? Things that you're frustrated with. And it may not mean that they're bad kids. Maybe there's a problem with resources. Maybe there's a problem with them catching it and getting it. What's going on? Maybe they're having challenges in their own life with their peer pressure. What's going on? What's going on in your marriage? What's going on at your job? What's going on with your body? What does the doctor's report look like? What's going on with this temptation you just can't shake? What's going on? I want you to know, before Jesus shows up in it, hope is already on the way. God is already doing something. He's already moving. I just can't see it. But cross your hands for a minute. Cross your arms like this. Everybody cross your arms like this. And then look like. You got it? Let me take a survey. You got it? Okay, all right, good, good. Now I want you to ask this question out loud. What am I not seeing? See, God's moving. What am I not seeing? I see stuff in front of me. But what does the eyes of faith see? What am I not seeing? Now, stay in that posture. Let's get back to that posture. Come on. Let's get back to that posture. Now say these words. Holy Spirit, help me to see what I can't see with my natural eyes. You guys get that? So Elijah is with his servant, and these soldiers, these armies are coming at him. I mean, just coming at him, coming at him. It could be in there in the days of Elijah. It could be in there. It's coming at him, coming at him, coming at him. And what happens? The servant that is standing next to him says, oh, my God, we're done. And so Elijah says, Lord, because all he sees is soldiers. All he sees is completely surrounded. And here they are in the center, completely surrounded. And his assistant is like, yo, we are done. And so I don't know if he lays his hands on him. I don't know if he steps to the side. But Elijah makes this statement. Lord, open his eyes. Help him to see. And at that point, the Holy Spirit, it was as though he pulled back a film. The first level was just people, armies, soldiers, horses, ready for battle. And they're going to get attacked. But when the Holy Spirit pulls the screen back, it was as though the servant, the guy that was assisting Elijah, he was like, whoa, because the Bible says he saw a host of the armies of God that were greater than what you could see with your natural eyes. So you have to use that. What's the timeless principle? Understand this. I'm going to teach you a little bit of how to read the Bible. When you see things in the Old Testament, when you see things in the New Testament, when you see things anywhere in Scripture, ask the Holy Spirit. What's the timeless principle? What happened here that is relevant to where I'm at right now? And there is a principle I can stand on. I can stand on this principle now. So fold your arms again. Put your hand on your cheek. Say these words. Lord, what am I not seeing? Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see, to see, to see, to see. That's why these kids sing a song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I don't necessarily need my physical eyes. I don't even need my ears. I don't need my emotions. I don't need my feelings. I need you to open the eyes of my heart so that I can see things through your lens. I was with my daughter-in-law yesterday. I left my glasses in the car because I had on my prescription sunglasses when I came in. It was very bright and sunny. I had on sunglasses while I was driving. When I came in the house, it was all dark. I took off my prescription sunglasses, but my regular glasses were in the case in the side pocket of the car. And so when Emily came in, she's like, because we had to do some things at the house yesterday, she came in and I said, first thing I said, Em, I can't see. She's like, what? I was like, I don't have my glasses. Sometimes it's like that. And we've got to get God's vision. Lord, I want to see how you see. And we have to ask that question all the time. We got to ask the question in the morning, in the afternoon, at night. And thank God for guys like Daniel, who had set 3 times a day to pray. Thank God for examples like Jesus. It was his custom to go to church and pray. Thank God for guys like James and John, Peter and John, who they went up to the temple at a particular hour to pray. Thank God for Peter. He goes up on the rooftop to get some rest, but this is the time he normally prays. What time do you go back to God? What time have you set that nothing can separate this time with me and God? Because if you don't, you'll look, you'll hear, you'll sense only by what you see, only by what you hear. And so we got to go back, pivot all throughout the day. Times of repentance all throughout the day. Lord, am I hearing clearly? Lord, am I seeing clearly? Lord, what do you want to say to me about this? Lord, what should my response be to this? Put on the lens. And like they say when you get on the airplane, if there is ever an accident or an emergency, anybody know what they say to do? Put your oxygen mask on first. And then help somebody else with theirs. But we got to stay looking at things through God's lens. All right, the last point I'm making. The first point that I made was, in the days of Herod, this is what worship looked like. Number two, God's already at work, even when it doesn't look like he's working. Number three, the days of, they don't stop the plan of God. Number four, Jesus is coming. Deliverance, hope, peace, they are all near. And finally, the question for us, can we see him showing up? Can we recognize him in the middle of our present reality, in pressure, in fatigue, in uncertainty, in the long work, even of transformation? Can we see him? Can we see him? Can we see him? Can we see him? Worship in the days of Herod. Worship that is faithful when God seems silent. Worship the days of, they are the proving ground for worship. Worship makes room for the coming Jesus. And true worship worships God in the middle of our days. Bow your heads. I want you to pray this. Bow your heads. I want you to pray this. Say these words. Lord, I choose to worship you. Not just for what you will do, but for who you are. In the middle of my days, open my eyes to see you. Jesus, you're still coming. You're still moving. And you are still worthy of my worship. If you're here today, I just want to encourage you. If you've never accepted Jesus, choose him. Let it be worship, not just because of the bells or the Christmas balls or the trees or the lights, the ornaments, the gifts, the food. Choose him. Choose him. Choose him. Bow down and choose him. Father, we always want, like you, for your kingdom to grow. So, Lord, if there's somebody in here today that have not given their lives to you, I pray, Father God, draw them. Draw them. Let them know that you want to be with them just as much as you want them to want to be with you. Show them, Lord, that you desire worshipers. Show them, Lord. Show all of us. That you desire worshipers that'll worship you in spirit and in truth. Oh, Father God, may this house be filled today to see only you. Only you. And as we go through this season of remembering your birth, the mass, the celebration that the one prophesied to set us free, this is the time that he was born. May we remember what worship is all about and honor you even in this. So today, Lord, save, reclaim, restore, refill for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's put our hands together for God. Come on now, put our hands together for God. for God. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. I want to turn our time over to Pastor Craig. He's going to come and lead us in a time of giving. So let your heart, you come on up, Pastor Craig.